I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Hope. Hope is the theological virtue by which we desire the kingdom of heaven and eternal happiness and eternal life, placing our trust in Christ's promises. Paragraph 1817 of the Catechism. Hope is placing our trust in the promises of Christ, not in anything else. I'm on duty. Terry, what about you?
Amen, brother. Place our trust in Jesus and Jesus alone. Jess, today's show, I always get excited with the readings from the gospel and the readings from Mass. And I asked you something I've never asked you to do. Jess, comment on the first reading and the gospel, because this is soul food time. People need that. But before we get to the soul food time, I want to tease everybody. Today's show is going to be special. Couple reasons. Not only because Father Ripperger is going to be on the issue of communism and spiritual warfare, and then we're also going to talk, answer some questions from people who have attacked us, which it's okay. You can ask questions. We're going to give reasonable answers back, and I'm okay. I spoke for 30 minutes with people yesterday, people who got mad at me. I'm okay with that. So we'll talk about that. But also, the favorite thing I'm going to talk about today is Archbishop Sheen's warning about a counterfeit Catholicism. Father Dwight Longnecker, he's the one who wrote the article commenting on Fulton Sheen, and I just thought that was so, so good. Also, other things that just, we'll talk a little bit about President Trump's swan song. What's he do? What's happening there? And also, we're going to talk about some things that are happening with social media being banned, and we're having people all the way from Germany saying this isn't good. People all around the world saying, America, what happened to your First Amendment, free speech? So that's going to be a bit busy show today. And Jess, before we begin, oh, just one more quick note. There's still room. People are calling me at night about the Spiritual Warfare Conference. Go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org to sign up for the conference. So, Jess, let's get some soul food from the first reading and the second reading at Holy Mass today.
Let me do the gospel first. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening to Mark chapter 1, verses 21 to 28.
Yep.
It says here, Jesus came to Capernaum with his followers, and on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. By the way, Capernaum, this was Jesus' new home. It was in Galilee. And he has followers now. If you've watched the movie, the series The Chosen, you'll see that as he handpicks all the 12 apostles, those are his followers. And it says, and on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as a scribe. Let me stop there. Here's what's interesting. It would be like if somebody who's not ordained Catholic walks up to the pulpit, you know, lay Catholic walks up to the pulpit, says, Father, move aside, I'm going to do the homily, and gives a rip-roaring homily. Well, that's breaking protocol, because only a priest or a deacon can do the homily. Well, that's what Jesus did here, our Lord. He broke protocol because he was not an official rabbi that went to the temple of Jerusalem to get trained. So
that's right.
As he teaches in the synagogue, they're saying, man, this guy doesn't even have an education as in rabbinic school. And look at him. Nobody teaches like him.
Right.
Okay, it says, in their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? Ooh, a whole lot of meat there.
Mm.
Okay. An unclean spirit's a fallen angel or a demon. Something else. Where's the unclean spirit in the possessed man? He's inside the synagogue, which answers another question. Some people say, can possessed people go inside Catholic churches? Absolutely. We see it right here in the Bible. Okay. Right now, remember, the church isn't established yet. So right now you have the synagogues and the Temple of Jerusalem, which is again, the religion that God has established. because the new covenant has not been established yet. And you see a possessed person walks right into the synagogue, a holy place. So yeah, can a possessed person walk into the Vatican, into a Catholic church? Absolutely. But notice the demons recognize Jesus immediately, and they know he has authority. They know he's the Son of God. And they said, "Have you come to destroy us?" Why are they saying that? Because the demons, built into their understanding by God when they were angels, God has already, just like God has already given us natural law, and we know it built in our heart what's right and wrong through natural law.
Mm-hmm.
Demons have also been inscribed by God. They know the finality of the world and the finality of the damned, including demons. So they know that they're going to lose at the very end at the second coming of Christ. In fact, that's what 1 John 3:10 says. It says, Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. That will happen at the final judgment when Christ throws the devil, the false prophet, and the beast into the lake of fire and consigns them and all the demons forever and ever in hell. So the demons are thinking, wow, is this a second coming right here? It says, "I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." So they know who he is, okay? Immediately they know who he is. It says, Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet, come out of him." So he did an exorcism, okay? But Jesus doesn't have to go through the entire ritual and, you know, and everything, you know, a whole hour with an exorcism team. And no, Jesus, just a few words, because he is the exorcist. He says, "Quiet, come out of him." That was it. Okay. Nothing. He doesn't have to do chapter one, chapter two, chapter three, holy water, incense, Gregorian chant, a prayer team, a fasting. He doesn't have to do any of that stuff. Okay. Because he's God. And it says, the unclean spirit convulsed him and with a loud cry came out of him. That's what generally happens when a demon leaves a human body. You'll find the person convulses for about a minute, you know, like a minute or 2 minutes. And it looks like a seizure, but it's not, because they'll tell you after, "I don't have a seizure. I don't have epilepsy." And so that's the way the demon is basically tormenting him for the last time before he has to leave the person's body. It says, all were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." His fame spread throughout the whole region of Galilee, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Notice what it says. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. In the field of spiritual warfare, the Catholic Church teaches that demons obey, but they have to be thrown out by proper authority. And that's a whole talk in itself. But Jesus Christ has all authority. Therefore, he can cast out any demon, Satan himself and all the generals. But everybody else under the Lord Jesus Christ has to operate in spiritual warfare with proper authority. Terry?
It's legalistic, is it not? Just yes, these guys understand command. And who's got the command orders to do certain things. So it's very orderly. Hey, Jess, just to take a minute with the reading from Hebrews. I really thought that was
Make sure you mention on Hebrews. It's because you got, for example, Mormons.
Exactly. Will
say that Joseph Smith is the final voice of God.
Yeah.
You'll have, and you know, that didn't happen until like 1535. You'll have Muslims say, no, Muhammad, he's the final voice of God. He is. And that was until about the 7th century. So the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 5 and 12, today's first reading, it rejects any other possibility of some other prophet superior to Christ. It seals that that allegation. It just puts it to rest. It says this: "It was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. Instead, someone has testified somewhere," so he's quoting the Psalms here, "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels." In other words, men are lower in species than the angel in ranks. It says, and Jesus, when he became God incarnate in his human nature, he's lower than the angels in his human nature. It says, "You crowned him with glory and honor, subjecting all things under his feet." So now it's talking about the divine nature of Christ. Everything is subjected under the divine nature of Christ's feet. Yet Christ in his human nature is lower for a time being on planet Earth, lower than the angels in his nature. It says, In subjecting all things to him, he left nothing not subject to him. Yet at present, we do not see all things subject to him, but we do see Jesus crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death. He who for a little while was made lower than the angels, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In other words, that old section just talked about the incarnation. God left, basically, came from heaven to earth, became a man, never leaving his divine nature, but assuming a human nature. That's why the Bible says he was made lower than the angels. He tasted death for everyone. Why? Jesus Christ in his human nature had to enter into our experience, death, go into the world of the dead, come out of the world of the dead, so that he can demonstrate to all of us that he is greater than death and he can defeat death, and all of us now have the hope of eternal life if we abide in him. It says, for it was fitting that he for whom and through whom all things exist. Notice, everything's created by Jesus. It says it right there. In case you're wondering if he's divine, it's clear. It was fitting that he, Jesus, for whom and through whom all things exist. So everything exists by the providence of Jesus Christ. It says, in bringing many children to glory, should make the leader of their salvation perfect through suffering. He who consecrates and those who are being consecrated all have one origin. Therefore, he's not ashamed to call them brethren. I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. Jesus taught us something very important here. His grace flows to us through his suffering. That's why grace flows from the patriarchs through our suffering, through the rest of the family, just like Jesus.
Well said, Jesse. Paragraph 53 of the Catechism says the same thing. We'll be back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
As Catholics, it's very relevant to understand what communism here, because communism is at the doorstep of the United States.
You got it.
It's in other places around the world. Yep. And communism is hiding itself in the U.S. under the name of liberalism, progressivism, and socialism. I want you to hear a short little clip from Father Chad Ripperger where he talks about spiritual warfare and communism. Mr. Engineer, can you...
One aspect of diabolic oppression is the destruction of people's reputations. Diabolic oppression occurs when demons attack people from the outside in their finances, their possessions, their property, their relationships, etc. And so this is one of the areas that demons can, God permitting, attack the individual. And so one of the areas that they try to do it is by destroying people's reputation. And the way they do that is by jading people's perspective on the person's behavior or on the person himself, so that in the end, people start thinking negatively of the individual and thus the destruction of their reputation. This is ultimately done to isolate them so that they can't gain help or get help for the problems that they struggle in relationship to the diabolic attacks. Communists essentially do the same thing. They impugn the person's reputation. They try to destroy it in order to get and they put all sorts of stuff out, putting perspectives on the person's behavior constantly. You'll see this, you know, the communists will say that this particular politician or that politician did X, Y, and Z when in point in fact he didn't, or that he did X, Y, and Z for such and such a motive, or etc. And so they do all of this and constantly in order to jade people's perspective, in order to destroy his reputation so that he will be weakened and isolated. And as a result of that, they have essentially removed him from their enemy list, because he now got booted out, and so people don't pay any attention to him, so then they can move on to the next one. So that's one of the things that communists do. They impugn their opponent's reputation, even if he's not guilty of anything, of any crime or any sin.
Well said, Father. Well said.
Terry, the very last, in fact, it's everything he said today, it really is a template of what the Democrats are doing to Donald Trump.
Well, Jesse, I'm going to even go back before that. This has always been done. When St. John Paul II was in Poland, the number one thing the communists did to try to undermine the church is they would make accusations about priests and bishops that they were having affairs behind the scenes and you shouldn't listen to them. And I think that's one of the reasons he was shocked when he found out about the sexual abuse that they were true. But communists would do that because they had to knock down the priest's status and say he's a phony. And this is what has happened. You nailed it in politics, especially the last 4 years, Jesse.
There's a whole bunch of stuff there that's been happening in the last 4 years with President Trump.
Oh, yeah.
That he says, like what he says here. I took some notes down.
Sure.
He said, and again, Father Ripperger's doing with these 47 short little videos, he's comparing. He's an exorcist for the last 14 years. He's a that has a PhD in St. Thomas, and so he's a Thomistic exorcist. What he's doing, he's taking his studies of St. Thomas and his 14 years of experience in the field. And he's comparing demons' behavior with communists. And he's showing in these 47 videos that we're playing, you know, I'm trying to play one every day. He's showing the parallels, Terry, in the human behavior.
Oh, yeah.
Which essentially, Terry, shows that, again, that if you're not living in a state of grace, demons have the ability to influence your thoughts.
That's right.
And so without a doubt, communist ideology and people that have a communist worldview, which is all over America right now, if you're in case you're wondering, it's all over our colleges, it's all over our mainstream media. If you're not anchored in the truth of Jesus Christ, then you're going to be influenced by the diabolical and what they do. We're seeing it right now. He says communists and demons essentially do the same thing. They impugn. That means they destroy a person's reputation in order to destroy him. He also says that what they, communists and demons, destroy a person's reputation for what person? To weaken them. Well, what did they do for 4 years, Terry, the mainstream media and big tech against President Trump? Constantly impugning his reputation for what? To weaken him.
That's right.
In the eyes of the people. Father Ripperger says demons and communists also try to, they denigrate you so much, they try to isolate you. They keep you from having communication from anybody else. That's what they've been trying to do to President Trump the last 4 years. And I'll have to say, quite successfully.
Yeah, well, they wear a person down. That's what we're talking about. Yeah. Not many people can handle 4 years of attacks, of impeachment, which is now again. The point of it is there's a similarity here, Jess, and I think that Father Ripperger.
I think what he's saying is this, is that communist behavior is manipulated and governed by diabolical influence.
Absolutely.
That's what he's saying in his 47 videos.
Yeah.
He's saying communist behavior is manipulated and orchestrated and influenced by demons.
Jesse, I want to just switch, if we can, to something that you brought up to me about Judicial Watch. And I just bought a new book because I'll be upfront on people. I'm conservative. I went and donated money to Judicial Watch. I get their newsletter every month, but their latest book is just well documenting what's going on with unscrupulous politicians. But they did an article that's quite long, but basically they uncovered documents behind a $1 billion mask deal between California and the Chinese Communist government linked company. You know, birds of the feather flocking together. Jess, the communists and our politicians out here in California.
California. Yeah.
Man, they're buds. From reading this documentation, the emails, they're like buddies, man. And what I'm saying is this is another good example of how atheistic communists have grabbed secular humanist politicians and they're in bed together. Go ahead, Jess.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Terry. And it says that they struck a deal. The communists struck a deal with the California politicians, which is basically the Democrat
and
Party.
And we paid for it, me, citizens.
Yes, yeah, you did. And my family and everything. Mm-hmm. The purchase was California purchased $1 billion worth of masks from a company called the BYD, which is in Hong Kong, and they're into, you know, sustainable development, but they're part, you know, they're part of communist China.
They're part of the military, so we're funding the military that someday might attack us. Okay, does that make any sense? Go ahead, Jess.
Yeah, so, yeah, Judicial Watch, Terry, this article, it's pretty well documented that there was a billion-dollar mask contract with California politicians and the Chinese government. Here's another thing I want to mention, Terry.
Hit it.
Also, there's an article here that says that President Trump gets around Twitter's ban on his personal account.
Right here, yep.
And he tweets about big announcement. Here's what he said, and Twitter released the following. Oh, no, this is President Trump's tweet. He said this. On January 8th, 2021, President Trump tweeted, "The 75 million great American patriots who voted for me, America First and Make America Great Again, will have a giant voice long into the future. They will not be disrespected and or treated unfairly in any way, shape, or form." Shortly thereafter, the president tweeted, "To all those who have asked, I will not be going to the inauguration on January 20th. Well, do you blame him, Terry?
No, I don't.
The way they've insulted him and stolen election from him. Again, I would do the same thing. I would make sure that I was absent as well. But Terry, as Father Pavone says, he started a movement, and there's a movement now of 75 million Americans, probably others joining. It's basically, let's make America great again. It's a movement now, Terry. So President Trump unleashed a movement, and what's the movement is? Here it is. It's patriotism, which you and I are on that side.
Sure.
Patriotism is a Latin word. Patria, it means father, fatherland, patriotism. That means father. Patriotism versus communism.
Yeah.
And so President Trump has, in 4 years, he's galvanized 75 million patriots who realize we've got to make America first. And I think most of us realize that are patriots that the way to make America great again is we have to go back to first principles, which are what? They're in a coin, Terry.
Yeah.
In God we trust. Check that off. Liberty versus tyranny. Check that off. Liberty. And number three, E pluribus unum, from many one. Instead of what the liberals, progressives try to promote, they try to promote class warfare. The true patriot tries to promote from many one. The liberals, communists, try to promote class warfare. Let's race warfare. Let's keep fighting over skin color and other things.
And Jesse, here's a amazing statement that the ACLU is supporting Donald Trump. What? I can't believe this. I never thought that would happen. They're saying
so is Alan Dershowitz.
Yes.
The Democrat.
Exactly. The left-wing American Civil Liberties Union.
Angela Merkel.
Has raised concerns about Twitter and Facebook's power of censorship after the great text banned President Trump. And like you said, a German chancellor of Germany saying alarming to have this happen. Jess, I'm going to tell you one quick story. You probably don't know about it. It was in Flagstaff, Arizona.
Oh, no.
Mr. Jones, he's a librarian. Librarian Association of American Librarians are asking all librarians to join Black Lives Matter. The guy says, hey, let's keep politics out of this. I'm not interested. He got fired, Jess, right in Arizona. He got fired because he would refuse to join Black Lives Matter. Now, Jess, that's how liberals treat us. He wasn't a conservative. He just said, leave politics out of it. I'm not interested in it. And he got fired just this, you know, in July. It just came out today when I read that. And it's in your home state, Jess.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's a good example of being polite, you liberals, with somebody who won't join Black Lives Matter as a librarian. He gets fired. And you know what? When the comment went to the library and Flagstaff to give us a comment, guess what their comment was? No comment.
You're kidding.
Liberals. Sorry, Jess. I have to call it for what? I'm an umpire by trade, okay? Yeah. I call the balls and strikes.
That's right.
And the liberals right there fired somebody because he wouldn't play ball with them. And I think that's tragic.
Well, Terry, I hope and pray that there's enough patriots and people of faith in this country.
Yeah.
That we will be able to be a firewall against communism because the fake news, the Antifa rioting, the indifference to babies in a mother's womb, the loss of religious freedom, the fraudulent elections, big tech censorship, all of these things, Terry, these are unprecedented.
Yeah.
And this tells me again that we're in the fight of our life. But nonetheless, we as Catholics, we got to keep our faith, continue to pray.
That's right.
And again, as that famous book, Charles Dickens, these are the best of times. Yeah. These are the worst of times. But I'll tell you,
These
are the best of times because God has put us right here and now.
Amen.
To become saints.
Amen, Jeff.
Become a saint. Don't miss the opportunity. Terry?
When we come back, wait, you hear this. Archbishop Sheen warning about a counterfeit Catholicism, the Antichrist. You won't want to miss that. We'll come right back and share that with you.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
1 Timothy 1:1, Jesus Christ is our hope.
Amen.
1 Timothy 1:1. Fulton Sheen, Terry, he's been dead for a while.
Yeah, 41 years.
Yes, and he's been in the presence of God for, I believe, 41 years, in my opinion.
Yep, Saint Bishop Sheen is my opinion, but go ahead.
Yes, that's our opinions.
Yep.
And Terry, the stuff that he said 40-some-odd years ago is still relevant today.
Yeah. Full scene ahead. Let's go, Jess.
He's talking about a counterfeit Catholicism.
That's right.
There's a small little section in his book. This is a 1948 book. Get that.
I know.
Communism and the Conscience of the West.
Yeah.
Where he discusses the Antichrist. He says this, quote, "The Antichrist will not be so called, otherwise he would have no followers."
Exactly.
In other words, he's not going to call himself the Antichrist when he comes upon the world scene. "He will not wear red tights, nor vomit sulfur, nor carry a trident, nor wave an arrowed tail as Mephistopheles in Faust. This masquerade has helped the devil convince men that he does not exist. When no man recognizes him, the more power he exercises." Close.
Oh, that's a great statement about the devil.
We must always remember that Satan comes to us as an angel of light. As the Bible says, what he presents is always eminently reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
He offers seemingly the sensible way, the soft way, the way of compromise and ease. This is now Father Dweitnecker Longnecker writing this.
Right.
He says, "If Satan showed himself as the monster that he is, all would run howling in terror."
Exactly.
"Instead, Satan offers a way when we are in a jam. He gives us an alternative when the way of Christ seems difficult." Ah, did you catch that?
Yeah, I use that alternative as compromise, Jesse. That word alternative. No, we are in a jam, a compromise when the way of Christ seems difficult. In other words, situation, ethics, universal salvation, all of that is part of this. Go ahead.
Now this is back to Fulton Sheen's writing. He says,
Nowhere
in sacred scripture do we find warrant for the popular myth of the devil as the buffoon who's dressed like the first red. Rather, is he described as an angel fallen from heaven as the prince of this world whose business is to tell us that there is no other world.
Who's telling us that right now, Jess? All over the place.
Terry, you got the chief Jesuit in the world that said that there's no devil. He's not the only one that says it either, by the way. This is taught in a lot of seminaries. This is taught in a lot of schools of higher education, Catholic universities, that there is no devil. There's a lot of prelates. In fact, a study was done in 1974 in Germany.
Yep.
One third, 33% of Catholic clergy do not believe in the existence of the devil. So Fulton Sheen's, his words are prophetic.
Oh, you know what? Jesse, you nailed it, and that's exactly right. And if you're in a fight and you're in a boxing ring and you don't think the opponent can knock you out, what happens? You get knocked out. Same thing. People don't believe in the devil, he gets you. And Jesse, just a side note, because of your specialties in spiritual warfare, isn't it true that those people who are not living their Catholic faith, who have no sense of spirituality, if you said the devil, you'd think it was Flip Wilson, joke. Those are the people who are most open to getting the devil and having spiritual warfare at them. Is that a fair statement?
Terry, there's some hypocrisy there because people that'll say, well, I don't believe in the devil. I don't believe in God. And then a lot of these people practice the occult. They practice black magic, white magic. They practice, they're involved in all kinds of black arts and occult activity. Yet they'll say, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in the devil. And so, but they understand that there's a, they'll call it a paranormal world, We will call it the spiritual realm. They understand there's a spiritual realm beyond our physical realm because they try to tap into it through all kinds of, occult practices. So there's some hypocrisy there. They say they don't believe in God. They don't want to believe in God because, like Fulton Sheen says, they would have a moral heart attack because they would have to change their life. And they don't want to have that moral heart attack.
And here's another part of what's, when watching for the Antichrist, folks, we should be careful not to become too obsessed with one particular historical or contemporary figure. To be sure, there will be an Antichrist one day who seeks to take over the world, and there will be his prophet, who is a religious leader, who seeks to deceive people with a fake system of spirituality. Jesse, do I go on, or do you want to comment on that? That says a lot there, bro. Aren't there three enemies? I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, this
I throw a softball to you.
Now, as Catholics, we believe that there ultimately is going to be one final the Church has always taught in the Catholic Encyclopedia 1917, the Antichrist is a real person. Okay, there's.
Yeah.
However, the Church also says that there have been many Antichrists with a small a.
That's right.
Okay.
Yep.
The Church says, like, the Church even says in the Encyclopedia, Caligula, Nero.
Yep.
Arian, Simon Magus. So the Church has said there's been a lot of many Antichrists, but there will be a definitive one at the end of time.
And just so you know, that's a 1913 encyclopedia. I still have my copy, so if you can look that up. And it's all also online, Jesse, now that encyclopedia. You don't need the books. It's the 1913 encyclopedia. It's online. Continue.
Terry, now, if I'm going to go. I just picked up another book from Sheen. Maybe he actually said.
Yeah.
He said that the Antichrist.
Yes.
Now, he said this in 1951 in another book.
And what's the title of the book?
Not
in front of you. That's okay, because go ahead.
Yeah, but I'll get it. He says the Antichrist will be disguised as a great humanitarian.
Yes.
He will talk peace, prosperity, and plenty, not as a mean that leads us to God, but as an ends in himself.
Boy, I can think of a couple people like that.
Fulton Sheen says, the Antichrist will set up a counter church.
Yes.
It will have all the notes and characteristics of the church, but in reverse and emptied of its divine content. It will be the mystical body of the Antichrist with all the externals that resemble the mystical body of Christ.
Just a quick note. The church in China that has been replaced because of that agreement describes exactly that. They've replaced Jesus Christ with their president of China. All the supernatural has been taken out. And I'm just going to make a comment, Jess. I see also inside our own church right now, many people who are in high positions taking away the supernatural aspect of our faith and playing the secular approach that says we're all brotherhoods, you know, of mankind. There's no, you know, supernatural aspect to life. Let's just all get along on the natural level. I see that actually in high officials in the Catholic Church, and that does disturb me. I'll just be honest with you.
Terry, I'm grabbing this from another Sheen book.
Good.
It says this about the Antichrist.
Yeah.
This one's Communism and the Conscience of the West.
Oh, yeah.
He says on page 22, he says this. Now, this is chilling, Terry.
Oh,
chilling.
Put your seatbelt on.
Oh, this one, I have to put my seatbelt on this one.
Yeah.
He said this, okay? The mystical body on earth today will have its Judas Iscariot, and he will be the false prophet. Satan will recruit him from our bishops.
Yeah, Bishop Athanasius Snyder, page 384 on his book, quotes that. Right there. Repeat it, Jess, because this is powerful.
Okay, because there's three people that are going to come at the end of time in the book of Revelation. It says the Antichrist will be one. You have the false prophet and you have the beast. So Fulton Sheen saying of these three evil figures at the end of time, these three evil persons, he says the false prophet, and he's mentioned in the book of Revelation, and especially chapter 20, the false prophet at the end of time that will be working in hand with the Antichrist, he says the false prophet, quote, Satan will recruit him from our bishops. That's what Fulton Sheen wrote in 1948.
Yeah, that's that quote, as I said, Bishop Athanasius Snyder has that in his book. And that quote chills me. I mean, Jesse, we got to...
Well, yeah, let me...
Continue.
Now, the church has traditionally thought that the Antichrist, the fathers of the church... Now, this is old teaching, that the Antichrist will be a Jew. Now, they say that the fathers of the church say that he'll be a Jew because if he's going to fool people that he's Jesus the Christ, he's going to have to be of Jewish extraction so he can pull off and fool, like the Bible says, even some of the elect. So here's the Antichrist, according to the church fathers, the patristics, will be a Jew. And then we have this prophet in our time, Fulton Sheen, says that the false prophet that will work along with the Antichrist, he will be recruited from our bishops, from the episcopate.
Wow. Wow. Jesse, do you realize? And you know, just here's the point.
Yeah.
At the heart of the Antichrist is the ruler of the world. The false prophet teaches a religion that is only of this world. This is right into modernism that Pope Pius X put out. And we have it on our website. Sign that petition saying that you agree that modernism is infecting our church. Just all of the world's systems, false religions, combine to convince us this fact. Here are some of the Antichrist systems of the thought prevalent in our culture today. Number one, Justin, let's go back and forth. Materialism. There is no other world. This is it. This is what people are being taught.
Here's another one being taught in college. Scientism.
Oh, yeah.
Only scientifically tested knowledge is valid. Next.
Historism. There is no overarching providence. History is random. In other words, don't give me this baloney. They use a stronger word, but baloney about... Christ in history, he's just one
Terry,
part.
You know what's funny about that, but that's exactly what communists do. You know what communists do?
Tell me,
rewrite
Jeff.
History.
That's right.
They tear down statues, tear down monuments, because they want to make sure that the people right now that live under a communist country, they don't know the past. That way they can control their thoughts. Communists are into controlling thoughts and controlling speech. So they have to tear down the monuments of the past. They have to re-edit the books of the past. That way they can program and re-educate the people. We see that happening, Terry, in American education right now.
Big time. Jesse, before we continue on, we're going
to
take...
We'll have to continue this.
Right after the break,
yeah,
we'll go down the line, but I want to also make a plug. Jesse, you're going to be here at the Sacred Heart Chapel. We have a handful of people going to be in the chapel, but most people can come to the Spiritual Warfare Conference through the computer. You can go online to virginmostpowerfulradio.org, or you can call us at 877-526-215. And Dan Schneider's coming in. We're flying him in also. And I just want to encourage you to, because this is really spiritual warfare at its best, to handle the effects that we're dealing with today. And Fulton Sheen is warning us, and I think we need to heed him. We'll be right back with more to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus and his church.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Hit it,
Blue Collar Catholic Radio.
Woo!
We're back.
Love it.
High energy Catholicism, Terry. We're not. We're not asleep at the wheel here.
How could we be asleep when what's happening in the culture right now? I just think this article by Father Longdecker taking Fulton Sheen's material on the Antichrist is so good. Let's keep going on the
absolutely,
on the
Terry.
Points. Go ahead.
We'll table the other one for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Evolutionism, it says the natural, this is again taught in colleges, universities,
oh, yeah.
How they brainwash them with Marxist thought. The natural world develops at random. There is no divine plan. So evolutionism, again, this is something that's being taught in our colleges. I wrote a book trouncing this issue. It's called, it's a book on atheism. It's called, I'm showing it right now, it's called Atheism is the Opium of the Elites. I took Karl Marx's statement. He says atheism is the opium, the religion is the opium of the masses. I turned the title, Atheism is the Opium of the Elites. I go through all this, the arguments that they use on scientism and evolutionism. Next, Derek.
And Jesse, just bring those books to the Spiritual Warfare Conference. For those who are here, you can pick up some. And I would even say if anybody just wants to pick up some of Jesse's resources that he's bringing, just come for that. It's worth the trip because it's just not easy to find everything. Okay, utilitarianism is the next one. That works is all that matters. Efficiency, economy are our gods. Boy, do we have that in our culture, huh?
That's a Marxist principle.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, because in other words, the only thing that matters is if you could function and work and make money for the state,
right,
then you matter. But if you can't work and function and make money for the state, then you know what? You're irrelevant. If people that are in convalescent homes, hospices are irrelevant, and babies are irrelevant because they can't give to the state. That's a Marxist principle that they're embracing in this country right here, the party of the left. Rationalism.
Oh, boy.
This comes from the French Revolution.
That's right.
They say there's no such thing as revelation. In other words, divine revelation, sacred tradition. The French Revolution, they rejected that. They embrace what's called rationalism. They say your reasoning power is your only access to truth. What they even did, they defiled the great church in Paris, France. I forget the name of the church.
Notre Dame?
Yeah, they took in a statue of prostitute.
That's right.
And they called it the Goddess of Reason.
Yep, they did.
And they enshrined it on the altar of the greatest Catholic church in Paris, France, and worshipped it.
You got it. Sentimentalism. Your feelings are your only guide because there is no objective truth. Are you kidding me? That is so prevalent in our culture right now. I mean, how do you feel? That's what makes it right. I feel I'm 6'8". No, I'm not. Who cares? You feel that way. You got it. That's who you are. I'm a man. No, I'm a woman. Feelings have nothing to do with objective truth. Objective truth is true today, tomorrow, forever. Go ahead, Jess.
Moral relativism, as far as I'm concerned, this comes right from the satanic Bible.
The pit of hell.
Yeah, moral relativism, because, in fact, that's exactly what the satanic Bible teaches.
Yeah.
They'll teach that there is no great law, therefore you may do as you wish. In fact, this is the motto of the diabolical, do as you will. So moral relativism is the system that's used by Satanists and Luciferians.
And Bishop Sheen traces this logical consequences of a system that is bound only to this world and seeks to eliminate the unseen world. That's why the devil's so happy about COVID-19. You know why, Jess? He got many churches to say, hey, your religion is non-essential. Stop going to church. Okay, I had to say that. Now, that's not what Fulton Sheen said. That's what Terry Barber said. But Satan's logic is simple. If there's no heaven...
This is Sheen right here. You're reading
this
Sheen
is Fulton
right
Sheen. Yeah. Thank you, Jess. Satan's logic is simple. Not me. This is Sheen. If there is no heaven, there's no hell. If there's no hell, then there's no sin. If there's no sin, then there's no judge. And if there's no judge, then evil is good and good is evil. But above all these descriptions, our Lord tells us that he will be so much like himself that he would deceive even the elect. And certainly no devil ever seen in picture books could deceive even the elect. Hit it, Jess.
Now here's Father Dwight Longnecker. He says, of course the elect... Mm-hmm. will be deceived and follow the Antichrist. They already do.
Yep.
To see what I mean, continue regarding Archbishop Sheen. Now, this is Archbishop Sheen.
Yep.
Quote, how will he come, this is the Antichrist, in this new age to win followers to his religion? The pre-communist Russian belief is that he will come disguised as the great humanitarian. He will talk peace, prosperity, and plenty, not as a means to lead us to God, but as ends in themselves, close quote. Now, here's Father Longnecker. Always beware the promise of a better world.
Yeah.
There's always a price to pay for utopia.
You got it.
Do not swallow the bait. Remember, there's always free cheese in a mousetrap.
That's a good one.
This is a powerful sentence from Father Longnecker.
Yeah.
He says this. Do not spend your time making this world a better place without first making sure you are going to the best place.
Repeat that one more time. This is great advice.
Do not spend your... We should send this to the Roman Curia.
Yep.
Do not spend your time making this world a better place without first making sure you are going to the best place, which is heaven.
Yep.
The Antichrist, this is Father Longnecker, always offers us this world. He offered Christ himself all the kingdoms of this world.
That's right.
He does the same to us. He offers a wonderful world, one without God and his son, Christ the King. Here's my comment. This is not Fulton Sheen or Father Longnecker. This is Jess Romero.
Yeah.
My comment is I believe, based on my read of other priests, that the political system that the Antichrist will use is communism. Terry, go ahead.
Well said. And Jess, we're running out of time, but I've got to make sure we get to this point where the Antichrist will not believe in God, but he will be religious. Did you hear that? Watch the political leaders give light. This is Father Lon Dekker saying, watch the political leaders give lip service to Christianity and the church. During the election, politicians will pray to get into office. After the election, the people pray to get them out of the office. I like that. The Antichrist follows the Lord of the world, and you can tell because of the cares about in this world. This is my favorite part of what Fulton Sheen said. Because his religion, talking about the devil, will be the brotherhood of man. Who's talking about the brotherhood of man a lot? There's someone high in the church without the fatherhood of God. He will deceive even the elect. He will set up a counter church, which will be the ape of the church, because he, the devil, is the ape of God. It will have all the notes and characteristics of the church, but in reverse and emptied of its divine content. Wow. It will be a mystical body of the Antichrist that will in all externals resemble the mystical body of Christ. Wow. Go ahead, Jess.
This is Father Longnecker. He says, Catholics need to wake up.
You do.
Already most of us have adapted to the spirit of the new age.
Yeah.
Already we have compromised our standards and lowered our defenses. It has been a slow, gradual process.
Mm-hmm.
But why do we think that we might stand up to the Antichrist when we've already swallowed his candy? Wow.
Yes.
Why do we think we might stand up to the Antichrist when we've already swallowed his candy?
And you know what the candy is? A Christianity without the cross. That's why these people who take crucifixes out of churches, they're trying to tell you, yeah, you don't need it. It's all a bunch of fun. And they're wrong and they're false and they're part of that Antichrist who do that. That's my opinion.
That's right. Father Longnecker says this. Look at the world around you. How many church leaders do you know who already preach a gospel that is no more than watered down socialism?
Yep. I know some.
Wow. How many sweet-talking, smiling preachers do you already know who parade their political activism while neglecting the reality of Christ's true gospel?
Wow.
How many religious people do you know who already believe that it is all about the brotherhood of man while neglecting the fatherhood of God?
Please repeat that statement because this
How many religious people, yeah. Father Dwight Longnecker yeah. writes, as he's talking about the Antichrist,
yeah.
do you know who already believe that it is all about the brotherhood of man while neglecting the fatherhood of God?
Wow.
He says, at this time, there's no single false prophet or counter church. Instead, these false systems of thought have infiltrated all the Christian churches, and the Catholic Church is no exception.
That's a fact.
When I hear prelates talk more about saving the environment than saving souls, Father says, I'm smelling sulfur. When I hear priests and prelates justifying a sexual immorality that breaks the sacrament of marriage and the natural order and the cause of peace and mercy, I'm smelling smoke, and it ain't incense. When I hear prelates compromise the Catholic faith in favor of a false ecumenism, I'm whiffing something vile from the sewer of Dis. I don't know what Dis was.
Well,
I looked
sewer.
It up.
Yeah.
Dis is the Roman god of hell.
Oh,
the Roman god
that.
Of the underworld.
Wow.
Father says, already they have put before us a new religion without a cross, a liturgy without a world to come, a religion to destroy a religion, or a politics which is a religion, one that renders unto Caesar even the things that are God's. Wake up and don't be deceived. Remember, the only thing Satan knows how to do is to lie.
Amen.
He's the father of lies, he's the father of lies and the father of flies. And where the flies gather, there is a corpse.
I got to thank
Father. Thanks, Father Longnecker.
Oh, Jesse, this article is so good. I want people to get it. And anything you can get from Father Dwight Longnecker. You can get from his website. He's got lots of good things to get to. Jess, this is going to inspire me to fall deeper in love with Jesus and also to do the five stones of King David, because We need to have Eucharistic adoration. We need quiet time. God can't speak without that to us. We also need to be reading our Bible daily, like Jess does today, every day here at Virgin Most Powerful. Read your Bible. We need to get to Mass as often as possible. Remember what Fulton Sheen said yesterday to us, that the only difference between the actual Calvary of 2,000 years is that it was an unbloody sacrifice in the Mass. In other words, we're present at that one eternal sacrifice. If you believe that, get to it. And also pray the rosary. Jess always says you're not on a team if you're not praying the rosary. And Jesse, one last comment about the Spiritual Warfare Conference. You're going to be coming out to California.
This is going to be the best spiritual warfare conference we've had. I'll tell you why. Because we've never been so fired up, myself and Dr. Dan Schneider.
Good.
Because right now we're living in evil times. So we're going to bring our A game. And both of us, again, we continue to learn more and evolve as we study with Father Ripperger. So
awesome.
We've got so much new material that is going to basically, it's going to give you the tools to become a saint.
And no matter where in the world, you can watch it by just going onto our website and registering, virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Jess Romero, what question I'm going to ask you, brother, what state should we be living in?
Live in a state of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. Become a saint. What else is there? Terry,
absolutely.
Go ahead.
And folks, I just want to remind you that today we have Bishop Joseph Strickland on right after this show. If you can't watch it on your YouTube, or you can always listen to it on our app. Go to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Get our free app. Enjoy the show. God love you.